And we get to the final chapter here of 1 Peter, and we'll deal with the first four verses today as we, in going through 1 Peter, have been speaking on the subject of Christian suffering, as we believe the Apostle Peter is dealing with the saints of God, a number of saints who are going through difficulty, going through trials, and in the context, it's a church, at least one church of saints that are enduring the trials that they're going through, and we kind of see that context previous to this, and we see it a little bit more here today as we look at the first four verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. And looking at this, I want to deal with the subject today of suffering and the ministry. Suffering and the ministry. Now, there's all kinds of titles that we could come up with because he's going to be dealing with the ministry. And in dealing with the ministry, we all know that depending on what time we leave today, there could be some suffering that we have to endure because 2 hours is probably about the allotted time for this message today. So get ready. No, not really. But anyway, suffering and the ministry. We have the Apostle Peter deals with now, he starts to address the pastors. He's starting to address those that are pastors in this congregation. Perhaps it's multiple congregations that he's dealing with this letter is being sent to. We know sometimes the letters or the epistles were sent to numerous congregations. And therefore, and we don't always know exactly in every case to whom they were sent. It isn't addressed here exactly to whom they were sent, other than the fact that they were through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That's pretty big. That's a pretty broad area, which leads us to believe that he's writing to numerous churches who are going through a period of suffering, going through a time of suffering in a region of the world. And so we find that that's something that obviously happens. Sometimes it's even pandemic, as we have gone through a period of suffering in a very unique sense in our day and in our time now. The Apostle Peter here, let's just read these first four verses, but you see him beginning to deal with the elders, if you will. So the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So to the elders, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We'll be dealing here today with, and we're going to go through these verses step by step here, but we're dealing with the subject of suffering and the ministry. As we go through suffering, as the Apostle Peter is referring to here in this whole letter, as we're going through suffering, keep in mind the ministry. Keep in mind the ministry of the feeding of the flock, and keep in mind those that the Lord has directed that we be supplied, that there are blessings that are through the ministry and through the work of the ministry as God supplies. And so we'll look at this today as we're thinking about a little bit about the church today, but suffering and the ministry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the provision you give to us, Lord, of those who in the past have led us and given to us direction and guidance spiritually. And we thank you, Lord, for them. And we just thank you, Lord, for the provision that you make for us day by day in caring for all our needs, that you are the chief shepherd. And that while there you have people who are helping and directing and being you're using, yet at the same time, you are the chief shepherd that is leading your people and each of your sheep. And we just pray that we might follow you that we might be directed, that we might be guided along, even as we listen, as we think upon the message today, that our thoughts would be upon your leadership and your direction in our lives as we consider your word here today. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. The word elders here is a word, if you were to look it up in the Strong's Concordance or whatever references you might have, it's a word in the Greek, presbyteros. And presbyteros indicates, of course, we see that word numerous times in the scriptures, and sometimes it's in reference to age, sometimes it's in reference to people that are older people, but oftentimes it's in reference to an office, and that office being the office of an elder. And presbyteros is that aspect of the pastoral office regarding spiritual maturity. In other words, not only does the word refer to physical maturity and old age, but also it refers to spiritual maturity. It refers to that one, if you will, or those ones that he's referring to here as elders. He's referring to those ones that have an understanding of the application of the scriptures. And when they feed, as he's going to deal with feeding the flock, the word presbyteros, though, has that idea, conveys that concept and that aspect of the office of a pastor as being that which is here is a spiritually mature person. You don't want a pastor that's not a spiritually mature person. You don't want a pastor that doesn't understand the scriptures. You don't want a pastor that might mislead us. And so larger congregations will require more elders or pastors for the size of the congregation. But as we find here, elders, but notice he says it's the elders which are among you. And he says, I'm also an elder. Who am also? Elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. And so he says, the elders, we'll get back to this, which are among you. In other words, he's not talking about just some elder that's way off in some other place, but he's talking about the elders which are among you. In other words, that he's dealing with the saints here on a local basis. And that local basis that he's referring to, they have elders. These saints have got elders that he's addressing, have got elders who are among them. And he says then, or at least one in multiple congregations. And he says, but I'm also an elder. Who am also an elder? Peter also was in the ministry, obviously implying an office of responsibility that he's referring to here, and he's going to deal with that responsibility, the duties, if you will, or the responsibility of this office. And he says he's also, not only he's an elder, but he's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now that makes him very peculiar. Peter is very peculiar in that sense, and we don't have any people that are like that today. We don't have any apostles today who were witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who actually literally were there. And of course, the apostles, whenever there was the replacement of an apostle in the book of Acts, if we were to look at it, we find that when there was a replacement because of the fact that Judas Iscariot had hanged himself and had betrayed the Lord, that when the church determined to replace him, they chose for someone who's qualified to be an apostle. And one of the qualifications that are mentioned there is that they went all the way back, that they were with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had John's baptism, and they were with the Lord Jesus Christ all the time that he was in sojourning. And so that was one of the requirements, and so it had to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ who witnessed his death and resurrection. And there are no apostles today. There simply are no apostles today. There are no people who fill that same office and that meet the qualifications. Not any of you were there? None of us were there. And so the responsibility that he's referring to here, he says, hey, I'm also a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now that's a humbling statement. A humbling statement because he's just saying, I'm just one of those that's a partaker of the glory that's going to be revealed. I'm also just a saint. I'm just a Christian. I'm just one that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, a believer. And so each and every one of us are part of that. And so then he tells them to feed the flock of God which is among you. He gives to them that responsibility, not only as being an elder, as being one who is spiritually mature, but now do the work. Feed the flock. And the word feed here is a Greek word that is poimeno. And poimeno is a word that means it's a shepherd. It's simply the shepherd. Feed the flock is to feed is the Greek word is poimeno. It comes from poimen, and the poimen is a shepherd, a person, a shepherd. And so a shepherd or a pastor. It's also translated in the scripture pastors. And so we read here that aspect of the office. When I say the aspect of the office, some people separate these as separate offices. Some people have a separate group of men within their congregation called their elders, but that's not their pastor that feeds the flock or that takes the oversight later on that he's talking about here. Well, that's inconsistent with what Peter's teaching here. Peter is saying, if you were to read it carefully, Peter is saying to these elders, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. He said, hey, you elders are pastors. You elders are the pastor. In other words, he's not saying there's a separate office. He's saying you have separate duties. You have particular aspects of the ministry or duties within the ministry to carry out. And part of the duties of the ministry, not only being an exemplary person in terms of maturity, spiritual, but also being a person who's feeding the flock. Being a person who takes the Word of God, opens the Word of God, and is declaring the Word of God, preaching the Word, as Paul said. Preach the Word to Timothy. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, a shepherd or pastor. That aspect of the pastoral office regarding the work of preaching and teaching, and thereby leading and guarding the sheep as a shepherd would do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, we see a passage that deals with this. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the church of Ephesus, he said, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, and he gave some, the Lord, as he gifted different people, he gifted different people with certain people for the ministry. And he said, and he gave some apostles. Okay, that's something that has historically, there were a lot of churches early days that had the apostles who were pastoring them and who were preaching to them and who were giving to them the Word of God as the New Testament was being completed. He gave some apostles and some prophets, and that's another gifted office that was existent at the time. And before the prophetic gifts ended and before the office of a prophet was over in New Testament time, after the Word of God was completed. And then he says, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The evangelist is just a preacher of the gospel, someone who declares the gospel, and some pastors and teachers. So he's given to people. The word pastors there is that same word as feed, as he's talking about feeding the flock. It's that same, it's the root word here, pastors, which is poimen. So poimen is the root word, poimeno, feed the flock, in the verb form. And so we find here that's the responsibility, that there's the responsibility of those in the ministry to feed the flock, as he's speaking here. So in a sense, if you think about feeding the flock, that's taking the role of a shepherd, to feed the flock and guard the flock and take care of the flock, but primarily for the feeding of the flock, leading them and feeding them. And that particular aspect or that particular role is one that he's the shepherd, but he's not the chief shepherd. And he speaks here in the same context about, he's going to go on to talk about, the chief shepherd. And the chief shepherd is our Lord. And he's the one that we seek to lead people to follow. In other words, an under-shepherd is not doing his job if he's just trying to get people to follow him. An under-shepherd is doing his job when he's seeking to get people to follow the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse number 2 as well, he says another aspect of this office of a pastor or an elder is, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. And then he says, taking the oversight thereof. The word oversight is the word episkopeo. Episkopeo is, episkopos is the word for bishop, a bishop. Now again, some certain religious organizations have got this separate group of people who are bishops, and then they have this group of people who are elders, and then they have this group of people who are pastors, and that they're all separate people. And the Word of God indicates here, if we're reading what Peter is saying, that that's not the case, that these are the same people, and they just have different aspects of their office. And part of the aspect, one aspect of the office of the pastor is taking the oversight. The word bishop or episkopos is a word that means an overseer, a superintendent in a sense. In other words, he's talking about that aspect of the pastoral office regarding the work of ordering and leading or overseeing the services, if you will, the church, and what things are done in the ministry of the local church. And so there's three different aspects of the pastoral office that Peter is referring to here. And he's speaking to the same people as he's dealing with this subject. They're all elders and they're all pastors and they're all bishops. All three of those things are the same office. It's just different aspects of the office, different responsibilities or duties within the office. And of course, one of the passages, there's some passages that talk about how that we're to follow those that are, that have the rule over us. Not rule in the sense of being their servants. The saints of God or the members of a church are not the servants of the pastor. He's just one of the members, and we're to be one with another. He just happens to have the duty of being the overseer of the elder, being the elder, being the pastor, under shepherd. And knowing that Christ is the head. So the ministry of local church, so there's a sense in which that at times you see the word rule, and that again is talking about that aspect of the oversight or the bishop's responsibility, not ruling in the sense of being the master of others. Jesus said, call no man on earth master. Jesus said not to call any man on earth father. In that religious sense of the word, we're to be all brethren is what the word of God, what Jesus Christ taught his disciples. And then the conditions of the pastoral office that he speaks of here. In other words, if we don't meet these conditions, then we're not being the pastor that we ought to be. And Peter is obviously dealing with pastors who are just believers who are also going through suffering. And in fact, sometimes, historically we know, sometimes the pastors take a big hit as far as the suffering is concerned. Sometimes the pastors can sometimes be the target. In other words, the pastors can be the target because people want to stop their ministry. They want to stop them from doing what they're doing. And so Peter is encouraging these to fulfill the responsibility even during times of suffering. And he says, but he says here, not by constraint. So in other words, don't do it as though it's something that you just that you're being forced to do, that people are forcing you to do it, but rather desiring and willingly serving as required. The pastor is to be, and this is reversed oftentimes, he's to be the servant of the church. He's not to be, and I want to be careful with saying that, but at the same time, there is a sense in which that he serves the flock. In other words, the flock are there. They belong to the Lord, but he serves the flock. He is one who has responsibility concerning the flock, and so he is to be doing it not by constraint, but willingly serving the Lord, the chief shepherd, and carrying out that work. And the Lord just gives to those who are in the ministry a great desire to do so. He gives to them a passion for doing so, gives to them a longing for being an encouragement and helping the flock, helping saints of God along the way. So not by constraint, but willingly, as verse 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Don't just do it for money. Don't do it out of covetousness. Don't do it for the money. It's not just a job. It's not just going to McDonald's and taking a job, or going to Earhart and taking a job, or going to the Evans Law Firm, or wherever it is that you're going, you go to work, going and taking a job in these places. That's not what he's talking about. That's not the ministry. The ministry is something else, and it isn't just for the money, but rather, as he says here, of a ready mind. Always ready. Not coveting and just laboring for the money instead of for the good of others. And also, in times of suffering need, you know, not unwilling to suffer need with everyone else. Whenever there's times of leanness, times where that things are not so good, and times where perhaps the congregation gets small or something like that, that it isn't just something that you make decisions about where God would have you to be and what the Lord wants you to do based on money. Don't do that. It isn't right. In other words, he's saying, hey, that's not it. That's not the Lord's will. And so there are going to be times of leanness. There are going to be times of difficulty. There are going to be times where that there's some struggle, but don't do it for filthy lucre's sake, just following the money, if you will, as unfortunately sometimes ministers have grown with a very bad reputation for that. But neither, as he's saying here, next phrase, verse 3, neither, so still looking at the qualifications, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Sometimes pastors think they're the boss, and they take the position of being the boss of the church. And that is, Peter is saying, no. Peter's saying, that's not the duty. That's not the service. That's not the responsibility. You're to be a servant, not a boss. And if we can't serve others, then we don't deserve to be in the ministry. And so the word is saying here, neither as being lords over God's heritage. God's heritage, God's people, the flock of God, verse 2. Notice that statement. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. The flock of God, which is among you. And then he says here, neither as being lords over God's heritage. So it's God's people. It's God's sheep. They belong to the Lord. And as though members and attendees belong to the pastor as his servants or something. That's not right. It isn't right that the members of a congregation see themselves, or that it, in any way that he sees them as being his servants. And so not as being lords over God's heritage. They belong to God. They belong to the Lord. And so we're helping them. We're just seeking to help them. That's the duty that we have. It's a responsibility that we have. And helping them, there's three different aspects of that duty that Peter is referring to here. One is being an example. One is being, in a sense, as being a spiritual, spiritually mature person that God would have us to have near us. And also then to feed the flock, to preach the word of God, declare the word of God. And then also, as he says here, to rule or to, in the sense of administrate. Being the administrator, chief administrator of the church and keeping things going and what time are we serving. And in the sense of administration, as far as the administrator or the leader as it pertains to business, as far as business of the church is concerned. But always the servant of the congregation, a servant of the church. And then he says, so if you do that, elders that he's speaking to here, those that are elders, those that are pastors, those that are bishops, he says, being in samples to the flock, being an example to the rest of the flock, he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Christ is obviously the chief shepherd. Follow him. Follow him. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He will eventually appear. He's going to appear as he promised. He's coming again. The chief shepherd shall appear. When the chief shepherd shall appear, as he says here, you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, Christ is coming again, and he is the chief shepherd. And so those who have that responsibility, the elders, the bishops, the pastors, that one office, but with different responsibilities, those that have that are in that place of that office of responsibility, then the Lord's going to bless when he returns. When he comes back, he'll bless with reward, as the Lord is going to reward all his servants. In other words, that all of us, as we faithfully carry out whatever our duty is, whatever the Lord's called us unto, then there's a sense in which the Lord's coming is going to be a blessed time of reward for us. The reward is far greater than any sacrifice that we might have to endure. The reward will be far better than anything. You, as God's people, don't ever think that things are so gloomy and so bad that you can't have a glorious smile on your face because of the fact that the Lord is coming back and his reward is with him. Revelation 22, 12, he tells us that. He says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So I'm coming back, and I'm going to reward my servants. And so, as the Lord's people, be encouraged as God's people, that we as his people can in fact, at least on our heart, have a smile, have a joy in our life and in our heart because the Lord's coming back. And Peter refers to that here. Peter talks about, he points out the fact that the Lord's returning. This is not for naught. The suffering that you might be going through, Peter is saying to those that are suffering here, this is the suffering that you're going through, and the difficulties that you have right now, continuing to pastor and continuing to serve as the elder pastor bishop that he's referring to here, don't lose hope, don't lose heart in it, but rather be encouraged and know that it's worthwhile, that it's worth it all. It's worth it all when the Lord Jesus comes again. For every one of us, whatever we might be going through, it's worth it as a child of God. The sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed hereafter, the scripture says. So we got something wonderful to look forward to. We have a glorious future, eternity in the heavens with the Lord. Okay, so then, what do we make of all this? So we just done the first four verses. We got that. We'll receive a reward of glory that fadeth not away, he says. So, what some separate, first of all, just technicality to begin with, what some people separate is three separate offices. Peter expresses as one office three aspects of the office. And so it's important for us to see that and understand that and to understand that because some people do make that separation, they separate these as different men or different people, and that we need to be careful about that and understand, okay, this is something that perhaps they've missed Peter saying and what Peter is saying here and what others in the scripture are saying about the office of the pastor, elder, bishop. But then also, this also expresses the nature of the church here in this passage. He expresses the nature of the church because he's talking to churches, plural, and he's dealing with these churches. He says, hey, you know what? Verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, verse 2, which is among you. Feed the flock of God which is among you. In other words, you have the responsibility to feed the whole flock that's among you, or at least that part of the flock but he's talking about on a local basis. You can't feed everybody in the world the word of God. But he's saying here that there is clearly an aspect of the ministry that is a local aspect of the ministry that we're to feed. Our responsibility is to feed the flock of God which is among you. The sermons might go out everywhere, but our responsibility is to feed the flock of God which is among you. And feed the flock of God which is among you. And then he says, verse number 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you'll receive a crown of glory, the faith not away. Elders, but then verse 1 says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. So, two things. Elders, feed the flock which is among you. And then, saints, realize that there's elders among you. The elders which are among you, I exhort. So, he's speaking to the saints in general. And then he says, hey, I'm going to exhort the ones that are among you, the elders which are among you. So two statements that are in reverse. He says, you pastors have folks among you. That's what the office is. It has to do with feeding the flock that's among you. You got those people who are among you. And then you church members, you have, and you saints, you have elders which are among you, Peter intends that this is talking about a congregation, that this is talking about a group of locally congregated together, covenanted together, saints of God, baptized children of God who are walking with the Lord and doing the Lord's will together and being encouraged and in the way, in a particular way that the Lord wants his flock to be governed, his flock to be provisioned, blessed. And then, so there's that example here of that expression of the nature of the church as the flock of God being a local congregation where pastors got duty over the local congregation. And then he says, when coming through suffering, in the context here, Peter's dealing with saints of God who are suffering. We need to be pastored. We need to be pastored. I don't say that because I'm a pastor, but I know we all need, according to the Word of God, we need to be pastored. We need to be led. We need the office that he's referring to here, and it's the Lord's plan that we have that office. And there's the Lord's plan that as saints of God, he's encouraging these folks of God to be in the assembly. He's encouraging these folks of God to be a part of it. And so when you look here, when coming through suffering, we need to be pastored. We need to be ministered to through being fed the Word of God. The Word of God is very vital to us as God's people, and we need it. We need the encouragement that it brings, and the Lord leads and directs us as His people through the ministry. But as He said, make sure there's the qualifications are met in the sense of those people, those ministers who are taking the oversight not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage but being in samples or examples to the flock. And so that's our message for today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then have another point to deal with. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to gather together here today. We pray your will would be done. You'd lead and direct us, Lord, as your people, strengthen us and give us a desire to follow the chief shepherd. Give to us all, Lord, a purpose of heart to be those who are being governed and led as you and provisioned as you would lead us, as you have shown us in your word, that you'll lead us along, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for us. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that is that food, that is that grass of the field that we graze upon, is that that, Lord, gives us strength and provision, and that you have spoken your word, and that it is powerful and accomplishes that which is needed in each of our hearts. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.